Breaking news today on Seculo, the Supreme Court denies the Department of Justice ploy for illegal voting.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. And this is very important, of course. You know this case out of Virginia. This involved the Department of Justice and the Virginia Governor's Office, Governor Youngkin, who had this amount of people, 1,600 at the case that was before, ultimately, that has the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals now, that a district court judge said those 1,600 non-citizens, they filled out paperwork. They are legally residents inside the United States, but they are not citizens, so they shouldn't be on the voter rolls. And the governor attempted to remove them from the voting rolls, 1,600 names. And the Department of Justice, which is kind of bizarre, you would think, why does the Department of Justice say we need to file a lawsuit to put 1,600 people on a voter roll who shouldn't be? They don't have a right to vote. They don't have citizenship. And by the way, do you want to get those people in trouble? Because if they did go vote, because you sent out a get out the vote or even just something generic from the state, like make sure you're using your vote, here's where you go, and that came in your mailbox. If you live in this zip code or you live in this neighborhood and you went and you voted and you thought it was okay, but you were actually not a citizen, but they told you to do it, you can imagine the scenarios. And then, of course, you can get into the theories of voter fraud. The fact is, if you can find 1,600 people's names that you know are on the rolls that shouldn't be, I mean, how many more? How much worse is it? So the Department of Justice filing this lawsuit, trying to say, no, you can't do this with the voting rolls. What does this mean? Well, the ACLJ, by the way, we filed yesterday. So we are in this case at the Supreme Court. So we took really quick as you could take action at the American Center for Law and Justice. There it is on your screen. The timeline the Supreme Court has set now, it put a stay in place of the district court. So what that means is Governor Youngkin in Virginia can go ahead and remove those individuals from the ballot, from the voting rolls, so that they are not, their names aren't there and they will not be listed. If they did come, they would not be on the voter files. The Department of Justice, again, could try to speed this up, but the election is, of course, you know, next Tuesday. People are already early voting all across the country. So if you look at the timing, there's no way that this stay gets lifted before Tuesday. So this is the first, I'd say, big victory going into this election. And you may say, wow, 1,600 names. We all know how close these elections are. We all know how important not just the presidential race could be, but also all of the other races going on in Virginia, the congressional races. So 1,600, yeah, it may not sound like a ton to you. You can win a state based off that many voters. So again, huge victory. ACLJ taking quick action there, protecting election integrity. We're also looking at a case that is, again, going back to the Supreme Court tomorrow to prevent illegal aliens from voting in Pennsylvania and having those votes counted. So that's a second case. The ACLJ, remember we talked about using those, making sure we had the resources this election season to both handle situations that come out before Election Day. And a lot of this because Election Day started, you know, 2-3 weeks ago in many places with early voting. Of course, and then you've got to handle the issues on Election Day. And then you handle issues after Election Day as well, which we know there are states already saying, like Pennsylvania and Michigan, and there's probably 3 or 4 more, who are saying there's no way we're going to have our votes counted that night, not even to the wee hours of the morning of the next day. It's going to be, you know, at least 48 to 72 hours till we'll have a definitive number to be able to know who won the presidential race in Pennsylvania, who got the most votes, who gets those electoral college votes. Same in Michigan. So you have to have the resources. And that's why we've launched our election hotline for you at aclj.org. And you've got a matching challenge right now. It's an early, you know, we moved it up because we want to have all the resources available right now to handle all of these cases. And you can go, of course, if you need our help. But right now, your donations are doubled at aclj.org. We need that resource so we can handle any and every case. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Seculo. So you see the importance immediately of sticking on these cases. The ACLJ, I just want you to know, has filed in that case in Virginia. So we were at the Supreme Court. It was yesterday, and there's the filing from the Americans for Law and Justice. Then the court, remember the court, we said the Chief Justice had asked for briefing. That was a good sign that they were taking something seriously to put in some kind of action. Obviously, they weren't going to hear everything on the merits. So they put that stay in place. Governor Youngkin can move forward in Virginia and remove the 1,600 non-citizens that were identified through a program there off the voter rolls. So there's no confusion. And again, you're protecting your own citizens, as he's doing, and the country from voter fraud. We have a similar situation in Pennsylvania. We'll give you more information on that. We are looking at filing there as well that would prevent illegal aliens from being able to vote. So that's a situation, again, where people who are non-citizens and should not be here. So you got a double there, which was even different than Virginia. So when we launched that election hotline, of course, at aclj.org/election hotline, if you have any questions, if you feel like you've got a legal issue and it should be you, or if it's you heard it from somebody and they think they have it, you need to have them contact. That's the quickest way. So we can talk directly to the person who feels like they had an issue. Go to aclj.org/election hotline. The important part of what we're doing right now is taking the resources, launching this matching challenge early for, again, election integrity. And again, to make sure that when we have that final vote, that we are confident in, as Americans, that is that was a fair and free election with no fraud. That was any type of the fraud that could actually have turned the election one way or another. And your support matters, because we have to be ready for any and every case that comes in. So we have a matching challenge right now. Double your impact at aclj.org. Whatever you donate, going directly to making sure between now and the election day on Tuesday, on election day, and remember, as I've said, and now it's being said by a lot of people, which is interesting, but I told you about it 2-3 weeks ago, was that I think the most dangerous time in America for this election is going to be if Donald Trump is declared the winner of an election. That's an if, because polls are tight, and actually swearing him in January and taking the oath. We know there's members of Congress. We know that they want to try and prevent him from being the next president, and they see the election as just one of the hurdles, and they've already got plans. So all those resources, we have to be ready to fight. Like, election day could be over after next week. You might even like the outcome. You might be really excited. But we have to be ready at the ACLJ as someone to protect your vote and who gets elected to really fight. And we're talking about more legal battles. We'll get there when we get there. Right now, you make sure you vote. And maybe you're like me. When you find out and people call you names like garbage, you're inclined to maybe have more people go vote and get more active, because you realize the people using dangerous and violent language are the left. And that's exactly what Joe Biden has done. And they are using him, I think, you know, old Joe Biden, to put out these statements to test him, to basically see how far can we go in the rhetoric. We're calling him Hitler. So if you're a follower of Hitler, you're part of the regime too. Shouldn't you be also a target? Aren't you a fair target? You're just as vile, right? If you're at the rallies. So I want you to listen to President Biden. And then after a few hours, not 5 minutes, but a few hours, what they tried to put out on his Twitter account, you know, in a statement to try and make good on it. Take a listen.
And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's
all right. To me, there is no way we are hearing that wrong. That's what the White House said. There are people, of course, came and said, of course, I don't agree with the fact that he said that all the Trump supporters are garbage. But we have a timeline here, and you also got to hear it for yourself. And he was not just talking about the comedian, one. They decided to make an issue of the comedian and not be clear that all comedians say offensive things about lots of people, and that's why they're comedians. So the fact that they took a situation that may not have looked great for the Trump campaign, honestly. And they made it so damaging, Will, for the left. You've got Kamala Harris less than a week before an election having to come out and apologize for Joe Biden.
That's right. So this call was with Voto Latino, and it was a specific Zoom call to outreach to the Latin community. And Biden's call started at 6:53 p.m. He tweeted out this at 8:31 p.m. Earlier today, I referred to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico spewed by Trump's supporter at his Madison Square Garden rally as garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say. The comments at that rally don't reflect who we are as a nation. So they're trying to play back. So that's about 90 minutes after. This comment was right up at the beginning of it. The White House simultaneously released the transcript of the call, in which people are now calling apostrophe gate, because they added an apostrophe after, in the word supporters, they put the apostrophe after the R. So trying to say that it is singular possessive, talking about Tony Hinchcliffe. This is a Soviet-style propaganda campaign run by the White House, because even CNN was like, okay, you watch the clip. There is no way that what we just saw, yeah, it was a hard stop. He wasn't talking about one person.
Well, actually, the person he's referring to, if you really listen to the statement, and we can play it again, but listen for the second time through, is he says it over and over again, his rally. He's talking about Trump. A speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating, island of garbage. And then he goes back through and says, he's talking about his home. Then he says, back to his supporters.
Right.
His demonization. Okay, how many times, he literally, through stuttering it, said three times. The only way, the only his in that statement was Donald Trump. So the only supporters are voters of Donald Trump, or people who are planning to vote for Donald Trump. They may have tried to find a creative way to say he didn't say what he actually said. But by the time they actually put that out, other people were already condemning him. I mean, the thing is, well, you would hope, and Logan, the fact that you could get ahead of this in seconds if you thought this was real. If you had heard that the way everyone else heard it, the statement should have been real time.
Well, it completely took the wind out of the sails of what was a moment where they were seizing on. When they were seizing on Tony Hinchcliffe, making comments that were like incendiary, that people thought were too far. Even President Trump last night said it was too far. Like, I'm a fan of his, but I do think it's odd sometimes to put these comedians in these situations. You're taking a risk, and sometimes that risk doesn't pay off. However, all of that, maybe you'd say, good political will that came from his statement, gone for the Democrats immediately after this statement. Because instead of saying, hey, we're making a joke about a percentage or about Puerto Rico in general, which, again, you could find that joke offensive.
It also wasn't about Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, about Puerto Rico. You're now saying half of the country is garbage. And even Caitlin Collins walked that back. Yeah. You heard her immediately saying, this isn't what he said, because the Biden administration started putting out, really, like we said, the damage control. But I think we have a clip. This is Caitlin Collins on CNN. We're not talking about Fox News. This is CNN.
When the White House is trying to say that what President Biden was saying, they're putting an apostrophe there in supporters, saying it's the singular, I guess referring to the comedian, that supporter's comments. I mean, it's hard to really look at that when you can listen to it for yourself.
And she was on with Josh Shapiro, who then later on even went on to,
right, governor of Pennsylvania,
to say, yeah, I would never say that about people. I would never say that about half the country. And this is ridiculous.
And I do think as well, there's another element to this timeline that is damaging for Harris, because not only did it take the wind out of the Democrats' sails about this, look how bad they are, the comedian called Puerto Rico garbage, and now they can't really use that effectively anymore.
No, you don't want to bring,
but here's the odd timeline. Joe Biden had this call with supporters at 6:53 p.m. when it started. Harris was taking the stage at 7:15, 18 minutes later, to give what they've been billing as the closing message, the biggest speech of her lifetime, on the ellipse with the White House in the background. So not only did it take the wind out of the argument that look how bad they are with Tony Hinchcliffe, on social media, I saw maybe one clip of Kamala Harris from her speech that was supposed to be billed the biggest thing ever, 75,000 bureaucrats attending, because it's easy to get that crowd that large when you're a Democrat in D.C. But no one is sharing her speech. Everyone is talking about
I don't know if it's made it
much. What the sitting president said.
I think I saw one picture of it.
I didn't even know what happened. I didn't know what happened until you guys brought that up, because I was so focused on seeing the clips going back and forth from CNN and from President Biden. There was no, I saw nothing about this rally. When you told me he was doing it during a rally, I didn't even realize this was that rally, that this was the big one. I thought, I was like, okay, well, she's doing lots of events. I didn't realize he was interrupting this big moment. That, yep. Again, I was at a film
this
screening.
This was her Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I was right. at a film screening last night for the Bonhoeffer film and thought, okay, I'll check after. And when I checked, all of social media was just the garbage line. That's all I saw over and over and over again. In the next segment, by the way, we're going to be joined by John Andrazik from Five for Fighting. He's got a great new campaign in his support for Israel. He's been just an incredible voice supporting the people and the hostages. So stay tuned for that. And we got a great show coming up. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. John Andrasik coming up next. Welcome back to Seculo. I'm excited to be joined by our friend John Andrasik from Five for Fighting. John has been a consistent supporter of Israel, and he's been really out there loud for the last 13 months almost doing this. And John, you've been on the show a few times, but you've got a new campaign that's happening right now, and I definitely wanted to give our audience an opportunity to talk about what you're doing, a brand new song, and also this Yellow Ribbon campaign, because it is important, you know, now that we've crossed the 1 year, and I think at that point you start to, you know, you start to dwindle, starts to fade, but we can't forget what's happening, and you've done this new campaign to really kind of reignite that spark.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think, frankly, from the beginning, we have not given the hostages, not just the American hostages, but all the hostages, the attention it's deserved. And that's putting it lightly. You know, you're too young, Logan, but, you know, I remember 1979 during the Iranian hostage crisis, where every tree mailbox had a yellow ribbon around it. Everybody was talking about our hostages. And for some reason that hasn't happened this time. But I also think there's probably a better chance now than ever to have some movement on this. With Sinwar killed, with Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah neutered, I think it's really important that we keep the hostages up front and center, because I do think if there's been a time where we can have some movement, it is now. So hopefully this song, I hope everybody makes their yellow ribbon videos. Basically, all you have to do is make a video of yourself tying a yellow ribbon around the tree, say some words of support for hostage families, post it on your social media with "Let Our Hostages Go." And if we get millions of these going, the politicians in the world will not be able to ignore us.
It's an important time to do it. Obviously, we are 1 week out from the presidential election. All eyes are on that. But we need to remember, you know, what's actually happening, and this can go beyond politics. And my family plans on doing it this weekend. We're going to plan on going out there you know, when our weather clears up a little bit here in Nashville, and doing this together as a family. And we'll be posting that as well. And we hope people will feel inspired to do this, because, you know, I follow you very closely, and we're friendly. We talk quite a bit, but it is one of those times where, like I said, it can be easily forgotten. It can be easily disregarded, and it's not the number one story anymore. But we can't forget that it's happening. And I know that, you know, it's been a year since you released your first song, and now to come back and remind people, it's just all that still is important. And I'm watching people's comments coming in. A lot of people want to get engaged with this, and it's just simple. You're just telling people to go online and make this video. It's not about supporting a political movement. It's not about supporting anything. It is just about the hostages.
You know, I had an op-ed in the Washington Post the other day basically saying, if there is one issue that we can all agree on in this divided time, nobody's garbage, nobody's bad. Mm-hmm. One issue we can agree to recognize, support our hostages and their families, and demand that the evil actors of Hamas let them go. That is one thing I think every American of sound heart can agree on. And certainly we're caught up in this election, and everybody's angry, and everybody's, you know, anxious. But think about what our hostage families have been going through for over a year. Think about that pain, that suffering, and tying these yellow ribbons not only give support to our hostages and our hostage families, they're also a memorial to those hostages who are not coming home, to Hirsch Goldberg, to so many of the hostage families who have been broken. So there's so many reasons to do this, and it feels good. It feels good to do this. And again, the song is also out there for folks to take to heart. You know, we saw Logan with OK and how that impacted, how music has a way to cut through the noise, to cut through the barriers. So hopefully with this song and this effort, we will continue to do this. And also we're going to college campuses. I'm going to Cornell on November 11th with Patricia Heaton. So we're going to the belly of the beast and supporting our Jewish friends, the Jewish community, and frankly, people of conscience. So we have a lot to do. I think the time of lamenting over October 7th is over. Now it's time to get proactive, go on offense, and win this culture war for humanity.
And John, your op-ed, which I encourage everyone to go read at Washington Post, you can get it online. John Androsik's Song for the Hostages, Do You Know Their Names, is the headline it's under. And I do want to point out just one impactful part for me is you do bring up the names of the hostages, specifically the American hostages, and how many people can forget over time when there is a catch-all term like the hostages, which is when there were so many taken by Hamas, it is hard to sit there and list over 150 that were originally taken. But the importance of the dignity of those that are still held and those that were killed by Hamas, by remembering them, giving them that dignity, saying their name, and knowing that, I think is a really important, impactful part of your op-ed. And I just wanted to hear your words on that.
Well, thank you, Will. I you said it so eloquently. I wish I could have said it, you know, myself. But yeah, look, their names are Edan, Sagi, Keith, Omer, Hirsch was... I get emotional because I worked with Rachel on many of these campaigns and the Yellow Ribbon campaign. Hirsch was a hero like his family is, like all the hostages are and their families are. So again, we're not going to know all the names of the 100 or so hostages, but we can know the American names. There are 4 of them. So again, I think so much of this speaks to the fact that our country is broken in so many ways, that it seems our hostages are an afterthought. So hopefully once we get through this election, we can have a little more common sense, a little more heart, and also, frankly, not hamstring Israel with our policy. That is a big reason why these hostages have not been able to be coming home. When you have a hashtag of bring them home now, I get it, but that's putting the onus on Israel. Of course, Israel wants to bring them home now. If your kid gets kidnapped, do you say, police, bring them home now? The whole world is upside down. So we should just recognize what's going on, support our hostage families. And if the world stood up today and said, release them or else, they would be home tomorrow.
We're all going to do that, John. We're all going to support you and what you're doing. And I always appreciate your point of view and coming on this broadcast and really being a voice for a lot of these great causes and for the military and for the troops as well. I know you're doing an event this weekend. I hope to see you out there here locally, because it is important that you are always there and an incredible voice when sometimes the entertainment industry can be quiet or on these really important topics, but you are there. So I want to say thank you. And also, obviously, everyone go follow John, support him, and make one of those Yellow Ribbon videos. Again, my family's going to do it this weekend. I encourage you to do it as well. John, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate your point of view, your perspective, and of course, your incredible music. Will and I have been fans for so many years, and it's just such an honor to not only call you a friend, but to find someone who really is a like-minded soul in that way and have such a great heart for all of these incredible issues, but of course, right now focused on supporting our hostage family. So again, we appreciate it. Go check out John. Go support him. We do have a second half hour of this broadcast coming up. I want you to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to be on the air, talk about any of the topics that you would like to today. Obviously, there's a lot in the news, as John said, whether that's what's going on in Israel, of course, those garbage comments, all of things happening. It's a chaotic time, but it is a time that we can react. So, John, we really appreciate you for coming on here, and we'll get you back on whenever you'd like. You have an open invite. Go to aclj.org also to support our work, and we'll be back again with a second half hour, a packed second half hour coming up on Seculum.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So right off the bat, I did want to let you know, too, through our election hotline at aclj.org/election hotline, which we just launched, and this is something, again, we are raising funds for through our matching challenge because, as we said, there's always issues leading up to Election Day because, really, in many states, including where we're headquartered, it's been Election Day for 2 or 3 weeks, and that won't come to a close. Some, they go right up to Election Day. Other states close a few days before. So where we are, I mean, it's Election Day through tomorrow evening, and then there's a little bit of a hold, 3 days, and then it's Election Day. But we've already helped somebody who contacted us, and that's why we set this up. It was a California voter whose mail-in ballot had not arrived. And we talked about the difference between going in person early versus a mail-in ballot. So their mail-in ballot did not arrive. So at that issue, he contacted us because he didn't want to do anything that would get in trouble because he requested that mail-in ballot. And, you know, what if that shows up later, but it's late? So you understand why. And I think it was a very good decision. So he contacted us. We walked him through the process so he knew exactly what to do. He went early, voted in person rather than risk it on another, what we believe is just a lost ballot. And it does happen when you are relying on those mail-in ballots. And I did say that is, again, some of your states, that's the rule. You know, it's they're mail-in ballot only. But in the other states, I say I always prefer early voting or election day voting over absentee or mail voting because we just know that you're relying on your postal service being inundated with all these same-looking envelopes. And how much mail do you get a week or every couple weeks from your neighbors or people that are sometimes even a couple miles away that somehow slips? So when it comes down to voting, between early voting and election day voting and what your state allows, you've got time to get there. I also want to point out this. I think you should honestly, and I hope it's rallying to some extent, and I think it was telling. Sometimes these things happen, I think, for a bigger, higher reason we can't all explain. So Kamala Harris, you know, yesterday is doing this major speech, her closing argument, which is tough to even figure out because on the issues, we haven't heard anything. So, but she gives this, you know, big speech on the ellipse, I think is to try to invoke some of the January 6th stuff, but look presidential, which has been tough for her, honestly. And that's just, don't take my word for it. You go to the other liberal commentators who think it's been bad, especially when it comes down to just how she's been presenting herself or answering questions. Having a tough time with Anderson Cooper, for instance. Doing better maybe in the debate settings than even in those kind of settings because of who the moderators were. But putting all that aside, Joe Biden, who's still president of the United States, we all kind of forget about, but he is the president of the United States. For maybe he shouldn't be because on the one hand, if he is calling half the country garbage, which he did in this statement, and it was unintentional, then what else is he doing that's unintentional that takes 3 hours for them to correct? And should he really be the person in charge of what military decisions we do or don't make through January, through mid to late January? And so that's one question, because that's the only way you would believe that, you know, this was just a misstep. But it was a misstep in a statement that wasn't corrected by him immediately or by his staff immediately. It took them, what did it take them, an hour and a half?
Hour and a half until that tweet went out where he was saying, all I meant was to talk about the comedian. And then also the transcript dropped that had an apostrophe, trying to make it singular possessive. I know that people really love to hear the nitty gritty about grammar rules from the White House. That's really what people are looking for out of their president.
If you have to use grammar rules, right, you've lost the news cycle already. And what happened was, other than a few clips here and there, who is talking about even Harris's speech was good or bad? I don't even know what she said because there was nowhere to look. I mean, everybody went right to this and they went right to her ultimately having to like condemn it. So when you're in a position where, again, these are unnecessary self-inflicted wounds. And when you do that, it happens at the end of campaigns that are flailing because things are not running smooth. Obviously at the White House, obviously between Joe Biden and Harris and on the Harris campaign. So we're going to get your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, if you have an election-related legal issue, we want you to specifically go to aclj.org/election hotline. We have that victory out of Virginia at the U.S. Supreme Court, making sure the fraud won't happen there. ACLJ a part of it. Donate today. We double your donation at ACLJ. Welcome back to Seculo. I want to play this too because we've talked about it a lot. So what did Kamala Harris honestly have to do after the ellipse, after the big speech? Was she talking about that? Was she getting wrong? Nope. She was asked about Joe Biden now referring to half of the American people as garbage in reference to trying to point out the comedian who was talking about it in jest. And of course, you know, comedians are offensive by nature. If you don't like comedy, you know, lots of people don't because of that, but you know, free country, First Amendment. I don't know if I'd always pick comedians to kick off my political rallies, but people are doing that more and more these days, thinking that we're adults enough to know that those are, again, not nasty and directed, and they're not serious comments at all. But this is what Harris had to end up doing. So at first they were using it as a way to go after Trump. You know, he's Hitler, he's Nazi, fascist, and now they're calling people or islands, however you want to say it, as garbage. And then, in fact, now they have referred to the American people as garbage, so Harris had to put this out.
Biden put this comment last night about garbage.
Listen, I think that, first of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear, I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for.
All right, here's the truth. He didn't clarify anything. I mean, I know the tweet goes from him and the White House puts the apostrophe, but it took them, they only reacted after Logan, the media reacted.
Right.
And so they didn't even catch it as a problem until the media started running with it and they said, uh-oh. And then everybody had to condemn Joe Biden yesterday. And then by the time it got to Harris this morning, I guess, she was able to say, see, it was corrected. He didn't really mean that, and try to move on. But it doesn't matter because it's Biden Harris. That's who we're talking about here. That's her boss still. Yeah. And that's how she got to the position she's in. So she didn't want to have to directly condemn him, and she didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's what happened
with
the story.
She's letting him get away with that statement, which, you know, is just made up by his staff.
Yeah, and when a story gets flipped like this, obviously the damage control is going to kick in, because what it's really going to do is just end the entire, you know, big moment that they had, the big gaffe, if you will, if you even want to call it that, that they felt like was from that rally. That was the one moment. By the way, if you go watch the whole bit from Tony Hinchcliffe, I mean, he hits everybody pretty hard.
That's what comedians do.
So what I'm saying is, like, they isolated that one
club,
spot.
You will hear the things that you don't like.
You will be offended by. Right. And that's okay. That's part of the art form. But they took that one bit and they were going to run with it. I believe they were going to run with it for weeks.
Yeah.
We were going to run for a week. It was going to be part of this. And now that part not only has been taken away from them, it has been so distorted to where now you're calling even a bigger group. It's like, okay, you called them garbage. They called them garbage. All right. It almost neutralizes any sort of good or bad publicity coming out of this, you know, unfortunate moment a week before the election.
This is why people are getting shot and why they're taking shots at Donald Trump. And someone was killed at a Donald Trump rally. You know, we take away from the fact that they always want to talk about January 6th and this individual is there. By the way, again, a protester shot by law enforcement and issues about whether or not that shot should have been taken the way it was. But it's only at Trump rally where we've have someone else been killed. All because, and the people who are taking these actions think for their own reasons, these are something I should be doing. This is protecting the country. So you don't have to be that demented. It doesn't take that demented of a person to think, I should be the hero who removes this person, so that there's no question this enemy of democracy, this Hitler part two, this fascist can't become president because they won't be around anymore. And then a few weeks later, after someone was killed at a rally, a few weeks later, takes about 15 minutes to play a golf hole. On the next golf hole was another person who thought, and it was very politically active, thought they were, you know, they should remove this problem from the country so it wasn't up to even voters.
Yeah.
And that's the rhetoric. And then you add garbage to that. That is like Hitler. I don't like saying that about much, but if you actually start demonizing people, and then you're dehumanizing people.
All right. So I believe our guests are joining us now via phone right now. So I just wanted to give you a moment. Will, why don't you set up some?
That's right. We have a surprise guest on. We have Senator Carrie, or soon to be Senator Carrie Lake out of Arizona, calling the candidate for the Senate in Arizona, calling with Rick Grinnell. And Jordan, I just want to let you know we've got her on the phone.
Yeah, Carrie, it is great to talk to you. I want to ask you this first because we know Arizona is going to be so important for the presidential election. But we also know that it's great to win presidential races, But if you don't have a Senate, which is friendly and working with a president, the president's whole policies and issues can be slowed down entirely. Their nominees, the people to try to fill the right roles that you've got to fill in government. So it is just as important that if we elect Donald Trump, we also elect people who are going to be working with him like you. But tell us, what's it like on the campaign right now in Arizona?
Well, thank you for having me, Jordan. And you're right about what you just said. We saw that in the first term. We don't want people stabbing President Trump in the back. We want people working with him to get this America First agenda moving quickly through, because we need a quick turnaround. We've got so many problems right now that we need to be addressing immediately. And he needs allies in the Senate. And I'm probably one of his best allies in the whole country. I believe in him, and I believe in the America First movement. And I saw what it did for our state under President Trump in his first term. And I know this go around, we can do even better things. The campaign trail is going great. Our polling looks wonderful. The people of Arizona are hearing and heeding the warning that we got to get out and vote early. And we're seeing record numbers of people showing up to vote early. I believe I heard yesterday we have 125,000 more votes already banked from Republicans than the Democrats have. And so this is an excellent sign. And of course, Election Day is on the 5th, so we still have more days of early voting. President Trump is incredibly popular in Arizona, and we believe we're going to see those President Trump, Kerry Lake, and people are going to vote Republican all the way down the ticket. You know, we're right here on the front lines. We are at ground zero for a wide open border. We're at ground zero for the fentanyl crisis, which is a weapon of mass destruction, killing a young generation. And we're at ground zero when it comes to the economic woes that were created by Kamala Harris and rubber stamped by my opponent, Ruben Gallego, who is a radical, radical, far left Democrat. So I think we have a lot going for us. We've got the solutions, and the people are activated and ready to vote.
Yeah, I mean, talk to people, too, about the border, because I know it's now impacts every state, everywhere you are. It doesn't matter if you're a border state or not or close to the border, because of what you mentioned, fentanyl, the drugs, they're killing people. It is the number one killer of, you know, I think 18 to 39 year olds, so young people in America. And it doesn't matter if you're in Arizona or somewhere, but you then have to be like the hotbed. I mean, so if you're dealing with those cartels that are also utilizing that, that brings in even more violence. I mean, do you think it's resonating enough with folks in Arizona that they can't just go along with whatever the left is pushing, that maybe we should do a little more of this, but not really taking it seriously and actually doing everything we can to secure our country? That means the citizens of Arizona as well, from whether it's criminal, illegal aliens or kids who are being trafficked from other countries. I mean, all these horrible issues. And it feels like it's just us on the right. And maybe, hopefully, voters, Kerry, have figured it out this time that we will actually get things done and we care.
The policy we have right now is showing no compassion to human beings at all. I mean, think about it. Wide open border. Children are being sex trafficked across our border. 325,000 of them have gone missing. I, as a mother, I can barely sleep at night thinking about that and thinking about where those kids may be. And then women are being raped as they come across. Humans are being trafficked across the border, and many of them are forced to work. They're almost indentured servants. They have to work to pay off the cartel and their smuggler who got them across the border. And it's certainly is not compassionate toward the American citizen who's struggling right now. We're watching as when you have millions of people pour across the border, they depress the wages of hardworking working class and middle class Americans. And then, you know, we talked a little bit about the fentanyl. Most of the fentanyl is coming across Arizona, and that is making it to all 50 states, and it's just creating carnage in its path, because so many people, when you lose a 16-year-old son or a 20-year-old daughter to fentanyl poisoning, that creates a hole in your life, in your heart, that just never heals. And this is happening to hundreds of thousands of families around the country. And this is all because they chose to open up the border. President Trump had delivered us the most secure border we'd ever had in Arizona. I lived here for 30 years. It had never been secure until President Trump. And on day one, minute one, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, with the help of my opponent, Ruben Gallego, came in and tore that border wide open and created this problem. I was just at the Yuma border a few days ago in an area where Border Patrol told me about 75 to 100 people are pouring across each night. The federal government, our government, has put up a sign in Spanish, and basically it says, you know, we know you're here illegally, but take your cell phone and this QR code. This QR code will actually help you get settled, will help you get housing, job permit, everything you need to get settled. It's like the Expedia for people here illegally, and we're paying for that. And this is why President Trump, and I agree, we need to send these people back to their loved ones, back to their homeland, in order to save our homeland.
You know, Carrie, for people, again, you can go to your website. If you're in Arizona, get involved. Donating is important right now, folks. And of course, if you're out of the state, you can donate and help. If you're in state, you can volunteer. So go get with the campaign. Get on the ground. You know Kerry's working hard. And again, this is going to be key. You don't just take the White House. You want the Senate too. You want the House. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secula. We're going to get phone calls now. So Carrie Lake just joined us. That was cool. I love getting the updates, too, because these people who are on the ground who've been working hard. She's been working hard for 4 years in Arizona and getting to know people, getting to know the issues. It is kind of a ground zero. When she says it's a ground zero, it really is, too. We talk so much about these immigration issues, and these are the folks that and communities that are dealing with it on the frontline side with not just the drugs, but the drugs, you know, are killer in a way that the most dangerous to young people in our country who are not necessarily hardcore drug users that end up dead with this, but are people thinking they're taking a recreational, maybe illegal drug, but again, it kills you instantly.
Oh, my wife went to an event last night, a fundraiser, and they had a mom come up and tell a story, and it was not a son who had issues.
Somebody thought they were taking
a pill, you know, of something for, you know, they're in college.
Yeah.
And
people
are passing and he out. Passed away. So, I mean, yeah. it's this ongoing really big issue.
Yes, and again, the issue starts with a porous border. Because if you seal that up, it's a lot harder to get in. They have to spend a lot more money and resources to get those kind of deadly pills through because the other ports of entry are a lot more secure. And if you didn't have to worry so much about this giant border, it would all be kind of funneling through places easier to monitor. But the left hasn't taken it seriously. You know, Harris still won't even give clear answers on that. So I do want to take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah,
the most wild part of campaign season is now. It always is, and I think we're seeing it.
Absolutely. Let's go to Rob. You've been on hold, Rob, for like 50 minutes, but I have to say, he's an ACLJ champion, which is awesome. That means you get priority treatment just today. It has been a wild day with so many guests, but Rob, you're first up.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can. Gotcha. Go ahead.
I have a suggestion. You know the old saying, one person's trash is another person's treasure?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, I suggest that President Trump pick an ambassador from each state that has dealt with landfill, garbage, or even refuge, taking care of the refuge in this world, in this community, in the United States, and line them up and give them an American flag and salute them for their service.
Well, I think, listen, everybody doing those kind of jobs in America. This is a country where you're taught that people, it doesn't matter what kind of job they do, yeah, it's all important. And that you're supposed to be just as nice to the guy getting your garbage as you are to you know, your financial advisor.
We made a movie about Jingle Smells, our Christmas movie, which, by the way, just a quick plug, available now on the Roku channel. It will be available throughout a lot of new services this Christmas. Also available on Rumble.
It sits in the country,
it's
too. It's happened with everybody going to college and the debt. That a blue collar path is a bad path always, even though they can be much more high paying jobs. You don't end up in debt, and you're actually oftentimes people in those jobs and fields are doing something they enjoy. They would rather not be at a desk all day. They'd rather be working with their hands. And yet we've kind of made that as it's an immigrant job or someone who's new to the country job, but it's not a job American. So instead, go take on debt to go to school that you don't even want, but that makes you feel like your parents feel like they got to send you and that you've got to go regardless. Yeah. And now that's not enough. You have to have a master's, and then that won't be enough because you're competing with robots.
Yeah, look, that's true. We're getting a lot of love for Jingle Smells, which I appreciate in the comments. So thank you all for watching it last year. And again, it'll be available on lots of new platforms. We're going to start promoting that next week as we head into the Christmas season. However, I did want to also take this moment to tell you about a brand new special. If you're looking for a moment of hope and really about an hour and 45 minutes of just incredible stories of, like what Jordan said, regular Americans who are just doing God's work in many different fields, whether that is on the NBA court or whether that is in a pro-life pregnancy center, on the music stage, or having relief efforts for the hurricane. There are so many great stories in this and great moments of reflection and prayer. And I really encourage you tomorrow night at 8 p.m., Halloween night, October 31st at 8 p.m., it'll go live on our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, Facebook, X, and at ACLJ.org. It's called For the Love of God, Save Our Country. I host it. It is a phenomenal piece that our team put together, and I appreciate everyone. 3,000 of you supported it financially the first day, the only day we ever promoted it, and we were able to fund this entire project in just one day. And with that, 3,000 of your names are in the credits, and if you did that, you should have already received an email where you got to watch an early access screener of it. It will be out, though, available to everyone for free, not behind a paywall. It is just available to everyone to access. Again, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, then work your way back. There'll be like a premiere video that'll go up, and then it'll be available from then on out as well. But it's an incredible experience to sit through and watch these amazing stories and hopefully give you a lot of hope. It is not political in its specifics. Obviously, we're talking about life and we're talking about standing up for your faith and your beliefs. But this is something that hopefully in this world of chaos this week can give you a bit of breath of fresh air and give you that hope that regardless of who ends up winning this election next week, that there are still people out there doing incredible work and you can be one of those people as well. Again, that special comes out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. I'll be on there live as well commenting. So if you watch it, I'll try to respond to as many of you as possible. Let's go ahead, though, and take some more calls before we wrap up the show. Let's go to Annabelle, who's calling in California, who's on the radio. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe so you get that notification tomorrow. Annabelle, you're up.
Hi. You know, people say I like the tradition of voting on Election Day. We also hold dear traditional marriage, parental rights, kids riding their bikes safely to school, not fearing some illegal savagery, or being able to afford all the fixings for our famous Thanksgiving dinner. Start a new tradition so these beloved ones aren't forfeited forever by voting early this year. It was reported that the Democrats have already stated their intention to impeach Donald Trump on day one if elected. A University of Washington professor claims he has multiple lawsuits he intends to bring to cripple the Trump administration's ability to govern. The Democrats care more about destroying him and supporters than how such actions will devastate our country overall. Begin another urgent tradition and become an ACLJ champion. There is undeniably none better. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought I heard you tell me to stop.
We got you, Annabelle. Well, we're just running out of time, so we appreciate you, obviously, your support.
I think that people understand, and again, you might be running out of time where you are. So all states are different. Some let you early vote up until the day before Election Day. Some have it on Sunday. Some don't. Some are open Saturday. Some aren't. I know where we are. We have it until Thursday evening. You know, so no, if you thought in your mind, well, Election Day, I don't want to wait because I don't want anything to happen that I don't end up going to vote. Then make sure. And again, it does not matter if you are a red or blue state. I do not care where you are. Because the first thing, as Annabelle said, is they're going to try to undermine President Trump. It's not even going to be through lawsuits or impeachments. Impeachments don't happen until you're actually in president, though they did impeach him after he was president, which was weird too. They're going to try and push this whole illegitimate, because look how big Harris won the actual popular vote, and he has no mandate from the people, even though that's not how you become president. There's a push now to say, you know what? We need to encourage everyone to get out to vote in every state, in every community. It doesn't matter if you're a blue state or a hard red state, in a tough congressional district or an easy one. Again, make sure to get the vote there, because if we can keep that close, that already stops problem one that we know we're going to have to fight post-election day with a victory. And I am hoping and praying for the nation that, you know, by 4 a.m. or 5 a.m, we know who the next president of the United States will be. I know it takes time. We had a West Coast when elections are close, but we have to prepare for a longer battle, because there's already states saying We're not going to know the vote. We're not giving you the tally about who won for 72 hours. These are East Coast states on Eastern time saying it's going to be 2 to 3 days. So you got to support the work of the ACLJ today. We've launched the Election Integrity Hotline for people. We've already helped someone go and vote. So it's already working. It just was released yesterday. We also need your support financially so we can help everyone and anyone the lead up on Election Day and after Election Day, which I think is going to be a second very tough battle. Let's win first, though. Go to aclj.org. Donate today. Your gift is double.